Welcome back to the Success in Trucking podcast powered by ES. Thanks again for choosing to spend part of your day with us. In a moment, we'll hear from Jason Williams, the president of ES, as we close out our special series of episodes highlighting the return of the Expedite Expo. As we mentioned throughout the series, the Expedite Expo will be held July 16th and 17th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Expediter Services will be serving as the presenting sponsor of the Expo. The 2021 edition of the Expedite Expo will take place at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum Conference Center in Fort Wayne, and the return of the event will mark a milestone as the Expedite Expo will be celebrating its 20th anniversary. As we enter the final countdown to this year's Expedite Expo, we asked Jason Williams to join us to talk about a number of topics that we believe you'll find very interesting. Greg Thompson, the executive producer of the Pod Wheels Network, spent some time talking with Jason to get his thoughts ahead of this milestone edition of the Expedite Expo. As you'll hear in this episode of the podcast, Jason, while touching on what ES has planned for the 2021 event, also recalls the long history that ES has enjoyed in being a part of the Expo. During the interview, Jason shares his perspective on what he sees in the trucking market as we continue to move toward a new normal following the global pandemic. Now let's take you to our interview with Jason Williams, who connected to the Pod Wheels Network by phone.
Jason Williams now joins us on the Success in Trucking podcast powered by ES. Jason, it's great to have you here with us.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having me.
Well, Jason, as you know, we are counting down to the Expedite Expo in Fort Wayne, Indiana on July 16th and 17th. I wanted to start by asking you this. Can you talk about how much you and the entire ES team are looking forward to being part of an in-person event? Because it's been a long time.
It has, Greg, and we are certainly excited about getting in front of everybody. It's getting to obviously meet with people we haven't seen in person for over a year, and that would be both truck owners and motor carriers, as well as some vendors. So it's good for things to get back to a little bit of normality and to move forward again.
Well, as everyone knows, it's been a wild ride for trucking through COVID. And as we begin operating in this new normal, what are you seeing in the trucking industry, particularly in the expedited sector? Is there a demand for capacity? Just what's happening?
Overall, there's a shortage of capacity nationwide, and that would be from truck dealers not having new trucks on the ground to motor carriers not having drivers in seats to owners having a hard time growing their business. So it's tight at every level at this point. Expedite in particular, even though the industry appears to have taken a hit in COVID because of the reduction of its size or maybe customers who went offline, people not knowing what to do with inventories in this time, the capacity is so tight that trucks in expediting are running hard, continue to run hard. Expedite normally is a kind of a peak season type of thing, and you have some real ups and downs throughout the year in a typical year during expediting. Right now, it's pretty steady. It's month in, month out. For the last 7, 8, 9 months, it's run pretty hard. We're grateful for it, that's for sure.
Well, Jason, let's talk a little bit more about the Expedite Expo. As you know, this is the 20th anniversary of the Expo, and ES has been very visible at the Expo throughout the company's history. Can you talk about what the Expo means to ES and what you've seen through your years of ES being at the Expo?
Absolutely, Gary. When we got started, the first Expo we went to, we had a single booth, and I remember it was Paul and myself, my wife, and my mother. It's a 10 by 10 booth, and we had to run down to Kinko's and get things printed. We didn't have flyers. We had business cards. It was just a learning experience for sure as we tried to get a starting company off the ground and running. We, in fact, were able to contract with some teams there. Mike and Leslie Weiss was the first team we actually got under contract, and we did it at the Expo. They actually wound up running with us for, I guess, 12, 13 years. A lot of good memories as far as us getting started. I didn't know it at the time, but the Expo really just having a few years behind it as well. Expediters Online really getting their effort up and running. They've gone through transitions. We have this year with a sponsor, and we have been for the last few years of the Expo. We've been blessed to make a transition to go from a startup company to now. We have a real effort and we have a real movement within the industry, a large community of owner operators and fleet owners and contract drivers and vendors and motor carriers. Something we thought we can do looking back 16 years. Again, we've been blessed to be able to accomplish not everything, but certainly some things. It's a good time to go back and, again, just circle up with everybody and mark success and then chart a new path forward, making sure that we continue to bring services and products to the industry and to our community that's needed to help people stay profitable. During times like this, it's certainly needed. The community is really operating well, and we're looking forward to celebrating that at the Expo and getting to know new people and letting them touch us and feel us, see if it's something that could benefit them, and hopefully so.
Well, you mentioned it just a moment ago when you talked about your first experience at the Expo, signing the team who stayed with you for many years. The Expo has really become a place, as I've watched you guys over the last couple of years at the Expo, it's a place where you have conversations and you start conversations there with professional drivers and with owner-operators and independent contractors who are looking to grow their existing businesses. I'd like for you to talk about what you guys have set up this year. You've got two booths. You've got the Insight at the Expo dinner, and this is all geared to be around conversations.
We're not a hard sell company. We don't try to squeeze a decision out of someone. We are a conversation-based sales effort whereby we just want to let people get an honest look at us and get an honest look at them. That could be the motor carrier. Again, it could be a vendor who's wanting to come in and service our community. Or it could be an owner-operator, fleet owner, contract driver who's saying, hey, I need a place to operate, kind of a safe haven to give me the buying power or the resources that I need. So all we want to do is start those conversations. We do it all day, every day, so it's nothing out of the norm for us. But the Expo gives us the opportunity to get in front of people over a couple of days and let them touch us and feel us and just get to know who we are. But it's all of those efforts, the truck sales, the Insight dinner, the ES booth that'll be there, talking about ownership opportunities for new drivers coming out, opportunities for them to come into the industry and get started as a contract driver and learn the ropes, decide if they want to be a professional driver as a career, do they want to move into ownership? All of those things we still do. We do it every day. But it's just to let people see it all together, all in one place, and get to know us and then make a decision. Again, it's not a hard sell. It is just the start of a conversation. What's neat about it, Greg, is a lot of times we see conversations that we start at the Expo that it might be 6 months, maybe a year. Those people come back around and say, okay, we've thought about it and we've done our research. Now we want to come in and do business with you. Those wind up being really good relationships. You don't want them to have to take that long, obviously, because you're doing business and you would like to be able to find a service or a product that you could service somebody immediately with. But the key to it is doing the research. And when people research and they take time to know us, then we've proven that we are who we say we are. While we're not for everybody, and we're certainly not perfect, we are given an honest effort, and that comes through.
And that's one of the things I wanted to dive a little deeper into, because as you know, Jason, you've been in this industry for a long time, and you know that drivers see a lot of offers. They see a lot of different things out there. It's the latest, greatest. Your program, as you said, you guys lay it out there. You do what you say what you do. It is honest. There are no smoke and mirrors. And I think that one of the things that happens through these conversations is that people get to really know you and see that you guys care about the success of people. So can you talk about those opportunities to have those conversations and to really create a foundation, a base where, yes, it may take 3, 4, 5, 6 months, but they know you guys are real and they can do their research and they can see that, hey, they are who they say they are.
Well, at the Expo, what we really attempt to do is give one-on-one time for people to ask their questions. Again, regardless of how they touch the company or if it's at the dinner, and just watch us, see that we give the same response over and over. We're not there trying to finagle anybody. We're not trying to do a bait and switch. If we're honestly good at something, we're not ashamed of saying so. But if we're not good at something, we don't talk around it and try to cover it up. There's some things we do very well. And I think we do as well as anybody and better than most. There's some things that we do not do very well. And we'll go out and find a vendor who actually has expertise in that area. So the one thing that I would hope people would see is that the things we can do in-house, invest into, and try to bring them value, try to bring profits to them, try to protect them. This industry is extremely litigious. It has a lot of liability in it. And there's certain things that just need to be done very well to have a company survive year in and year out. And we attempt to do those things. But I hope they also see that when we're not, when we don't have the resources or the talent level in-house to get those things done well, we don't bring a half-baked product. We will go find the best we can and bring that vendor into the industry and allow them to service the community with what they do well. I think, Greg, the intent of it that we hope we get across is that we are for the driver. We are for the truck owner. And we think by focusing on the profits to the driver and to the truck owner, it stabilizes the industry, which stabilizes the motor carriers. Rather than trying to get in people's pockets or rather than trying to have hidden fees or hidden agendas, just very straightforward. And our motor carriers understand this. Our vendors understand this. We negotiate to the benefit of the truck. We're the asset owner ourselves. We keep ourselves on that side of the table on purpose. And at times it puts us at odds with our vendors and it puts us at odds with the motor carriers. But it's a good conversation. It's good confrontation. It allows us to negotiate on the behalf of the community of drivers and owners that we represent to their benefit, which ultimately is to the benefit of the vendors and the motor carriers. Our retention rates are huge. Our success rates are phenomenal. The people's ability to operate a good, clean business inside of this industry. This industry is a good industry. Trucking has a phenomenal opportunity for somebody to get started and be profitable if you get inside the right community to do so. If you're out there on your own, it's very difficult. And there's lots of people trying to take advantage, and there's no doubts about that. It's very hard as a single truck owner or a small fleet owner to operate with any kind of buying power or any kind of information to make good decisions because you're never seeing the whole picture. You're just not large enough to get the resources you need to make the decisions you would like to make. And that's what we try to change. We've developed a significant community. We share data, we share resources, we share services, and we allow everybody to act as if they are the size of the community, which allows better decision making and then drives profits through to the truck owner, the driver. By doing that, what the motor carriers, and we're blessed, Greg, with great motor carriers, the motor carriers have realized that the stability of a profitable truck, you can't touch it. When a motor carrier keeps the same asset owner year in and year out, the service levels go up, accidents go down, complaints go down, customer satisfaction goes through the roof. If the profitability to the motor carrier goes up, even though at times they're having to give up things that they historically would do as far as charges and the way they make money, and same thing on the vendors. It's just a system that works, and it's a control of greed. We do believe that if the industry would serve the truck first, then everything else comes in line.
And you brought up a number of great points, and the biggest one that I'm hearing, and you've talked about it before, is the fact that you guys focus on the truck, on that business owner. Through the community that you've built, you are able to ask the questions of the motor carriers, of your vendors, on behalf of those small businesses in the community, which really changes the dynamic. And as you said, it focuses on the success of that individual business that makes trucking work like it should.
Yes, sir. And so an asset-based company understands that the truck has to be taken care of first. The truck has to be upgraded. It has to be serviced. It has to be maintained. The person in the truck has to be taken care of. When you own equipment, you understand that. When you come into expediting, where by far this is an asset-light business where the motor carriers do not own equipment, when we first came in, it was very much a us and them conversation. Everybody was trying to one-up each other. And I'm not saying the motor carriers were always taking advantage or the truck was always taking advantage. I'm just saying the environment was very much, they were set at odds with each other. So for the first few years, it was just work trying to get a conversation started to say, hey, we can do this different. We don't have to constantly try to one-up each other, out-negotiate each other. We can work together to drive profits through to the person in the seat, to the truck owner. And if you do both of that, you'll drive profits to the motor carrier. It works, Greg. I don't know how else to say it. You know, at times some motor carriers don't believe it, and we don't do business with every motor carrier because they don't buy off on the idea. They think that it's their responsibility to get all they can when they can. We don't work with every truck owner because some truck owners think it's their responsibility to out-negotiate the motor carrier on every load. We think those two ideas set at odds, the idea of stability year in and year out, cooperation to generate a profitable environment to operate with. It just works, and it works very cleanly. It's something we have to manage on our side. We have to watch ourselves, and it's something we have to keep in constant perspective with the motor care and with the community of truck owners and drivers, that everybody's willing to work together in order to drive a service to the shippers and receivers, which brings profitability to everybody in the community. It's not a genius idea at all. It is very simplistic, but I can tell you it's easier to talk about than it is to do it. It takes constant attention daily to keep it between the ditches.
It's trucking, and we all know that trucking is a great industry, but trucking is hard. And one of the great things that you guys do through ES, and you've talked about it before, Jason, is that when you're working with these small businesses, and you guys really are, through your programs and the opportunities that you create, you are a small business generator. You are a small business advocate. One of the things that happens as we talk about these conversations that you'll have at the expo, they are a beginning of a relationship. When you guys get into a business relationship with folks in your program, and you've talked about it before, it's really a marriage in which both sides are getting to know each other as you move forward. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So as we start, we invest into small business startups. Some people think of that as truck financing, but for us, it's an investment into the person. We're not financing the truck, it's the person, it's the management, the skills to operate that truck, to manage that truck. It's the same way that, you know, any type of capital investment firm would look at a company. They don't necessarily buy products, they buy management. They buy the ability to operate and ability of the management team. That's the same thing we do. While we do want to know that the equipment is a good piece of equipment that can support the business plan of the individual, it's the individual that we're looking at. Again, we want them to look at us and be honest with us, and we can get creative and help people with different ways. We don't have just a cookie cutter that people have to fall into. Lots of different options, different truck types, different divisions, even inside of motor carriers. There's lots of variables, but the main thing we're looking for is an honest effort and someone who is willing to learn and educate themselves, because the industry is constantly changing. We don't want to get stuck in old ruts that no longer work. Don't mean you change everything all the time, but you have to be willing to constantly move and tweak and change with the industry in order to stay in front of it. The willingness to use tools that we have. Are you running it like a business? And when we see that, the willingness to learn, the willingness to run it like a business, the willingness to make good decisions as a business owner, we invest in that person and we help them start their own effort. But we also help drivers. There's people who come in who say, you know what? I want to be a professional contract driver. I don't want to own the equipment financially, but I do want to, whether it be a lease it or rent it, I want to operate it as an owner operator, but without the financial investment of actually buying the truck. We have those products as well. So we're able to help people come out and get started and get their feet underneath them. Some people never want to own a truck, but what we try to tell people, whether you own the truck through a financing document or whether you lease a truck or rent a truck, you are still running a business. And it takes the same skill set and the same determination and the same commitment, regardless of which path you take. For us, it's the same set of services that we bring to whether it's a driver or a truck owner or a fleet owner. They all need information. They all need significant discounts. They need insurance platforms that take care of them, written for their benefit, to cover their needs. It's all of those things, Greg, and we do invest into them, and we look at them that way. We turn around, we look at the motor carriers the same way. So the motor carriers that we're with, we vet them. Do they have freight year-round? Do they have a real national sales effort? Do they have a brand that can help protect the asset owner during downtimes? Will they run the trucks and right-size their fleet as if they own the truck? Anytime a motor carrier is trying to grow all they can during peak season, as a truck owner, it worries you because you know they're likely to be too big when freight turns down and comes back to some normal movement. So we watch that, and we really try to get to know the management of the motor carriers just like we try to get to know the management of the trucking companies that we finance into. The motor carriers, our position is the same thing. You know, we're invested in the motor carrier. So when we invest in a truck owner or a fleet owner, they go and operate that at a motor carrier. Well, we're also invested. We're putting that investment at risk with that motor carrier. Our motor carriers understand that. They're sensitive to it, and they take that as a real challenge to prove themselves worthy of people putting their trust in them. So we don't do business with everybody, nor does everybody choose to do business with us. So I'm not trying to come across as arrogant. I'm simply saying that there's not everybody who wants to run a truck like a business and drive profits nor is there every motor carrier who wants to run their asset light motor carriers if they had to pay that truck note and make decisions that are good for the truck, not just for the motor carrier. So there's motor carriers we can't do business with. But those that we can, we support aggressively, both at the motor carrier level, fleet owner, owner operator, and driver level. And we have a really good community of people who've come together who believe in that idea at all levels in order to support that.
I've got one last question for you, and that is this, and it's one you're going to get at the expo, I'm sure. Is now a good time to buy a truck and start a trucking business?
First of all, in trucking, Greg, just to be honest with you, I've never not seen it be a good time for someone who is diligent and committed to running the truck profitably. It's always amazing to me, in the worst of times, the best truck owners, fleet owners, drivers that we get to look at, while they do see a dip from the peak seasons or peak cycles down to the valleys, it never is so bad that they go out of business. The good ones, they may not make as much as they want, but they're still profitable. Trucking is an odd thing that if you're nimble and if you've got the right services and products in place to support your profitability, the right discount programs, the right insurance, the right motor carriers, with the right truck as well that you can utilize in different environments, then trucking always has an opportunity. During COVID, we saw freight get cut 30-40% because shippers had to shut down, the ports got shut down, and you think, oh my goodness, that's putting everybody out of business. Our failure rate during COVID did not change from the previous year.
That's incredible.
It is incredible because we have a community of people who are business owners, and they were nimble enough to change the way they were operating in order to operate profitably, and they did it. Couldn't be more proud of a group of people who proved that our investment into them was worth it. They proved it, and they proved it every day. And they proved it to us, and they proved it to the motor care, and they proved it to the industry. They are solid business people. So my answer to that is always yes. Now, sometimes they're better than others. Sometimes you come in and it's a gravy train. Other times you have to come in and it's more like plowing the back 40 acres. But there's always opportunity. And there's always an opportunity to be profitable if you'll run clean and committed and utilize the tools at hand. And we do think that our community and what we've been able to bring together as far as products and services give someone the best opportunity, whether it be good times or bad times, for the national economy to be profitable in trucking. And I do believe that. So, yes, and certainly now. Capacity's tight. Rates are up. Motor carriers are looking for trucks. They think it's going to run. Even if freight turns down, capacity's so tight, you still should have another year or two out in front of you before we see blips. So, absolutely. If you're going to do it now. Get some profits set aside so that you're ready for when it turns down. Trucking always turns down. Now's a good time to get started, to give yourself a learning curve before you see a significant downturn. But we're not afraid of those, Greg. I don't want us to leave an impression that things are always great. They're not. Okay. Worst times in trucking, you can still run profitably if you'll set yourself up properly.
As we count down to the expo, is there anything else you'd like to share with us ahead of the event here in July?
Well, other than we look forward again to being in front of the industry and getting to just shake hands with people and talk to them and get out of our office, feel like you're back in the land of the living, meet new people. And we just thank the good Lord for the opportunity to get up there and find new people to do business with. So we're looking forward to it.
That's ES President Jason Williams with his closing comments on this edition of the Success in Trucking podcast. We'd like to thank Jason for his time and perspective. Before we close out this edition of the Success in Trucking podcast, we'd like to remind you that the return of the Expedite Expo will take place July 16th and 17th. The event is free for anyone interested in attending. The 20th anniversary of the Expedite Expo will be held at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum Conference Center in Fort Wayne, Indiana. As always, the event is being hosted by On Time Media, and you can register to attend by visiting the following website, expediteexpo.com. That website again, expediteexpo.com. As we mentioned in the opening of the podcast, Expediter Services will be serving as the presenting sponsor of the expo. Along with featuring two display booths at the show, ES will also be hosting the largest event during the 20th annual Expedite Expo when the company holds its Insight Dinner at the Expo. Taking place on Friday, July 16th, the Insight Dinner at the Expo offers a unique opportunity for all current and prospective qualified contractors attending the Expo. This special Insight event from ES begins with the doors opening at 4:30 p.m. and dinner being served beginning at 5 in Banquet Room B inside the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum Conference Center. Courtesy of ES, the Insight Dinner at the Expo is free to all attendees of the event, and the ES team has planned a terrific menu for the meal. The Insight event at the Expo provides attendees with an informal setting where they can get to know members of the ES team, hear informative updates on the latest trends in trucking, while getting an introduction to the programs available through ES. The Insight Dinner at the Expo is a free event with a buffet-style dinner. Anyone interested in attending the Insight Dinner at the Expo can contact Expediter Services for more information and to make reservations for this dinner event. The toll-free number at Expediter Services is 877-349-9303. That toll-free number again, 877-349-9303. You can also register for the dinner through the company's website. When you visit essuccessintrucking.com, just scroll down the front page and you'll see the Insight Dinner at the Expo banner with the Register Now button. Once again, thanks for spending part of your day with us on the Success in Trucking podcast, powered by ES. For the latest news and happenings at ES, visit essuccessintrucking.com. That's essuccessintrucking.com. As always, ES reminds anyone interested in taking the next step in your trucking career that if you can drive the truck, you can own the truck.